This podcast is a project of the Massachusetts Cultural Council, a state agency committed to building creative communities and inspiring creative minds.
I mean, I think that's what city parks in general are for. They're for gathering, they're for people to have these kind of informal interactions with people they might not see otherwise in their day. In sharing information, people ask questions together, they hear the responses and create this kind of engaging environment where you do speak to people you wouldn't normally talk to every day.
Hello, I'm Anita Walker at the Massachusetts Cultural Council. Welcome to Creative Minds Out Loud. And with us today is Laura Jasinski. She is the Director of Programs and Planning at the Rose Kennedy Greenway. And thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You know, people still can't get away from those two words, the big dig. But I have to tell you, if they have not been out to the Greenway lately, they are missing a bed. This is something that has been an evolution.
Exactly.
And what is happening there now is spectacular, but roll back the clock a little bit and let's talk about something that it feels like a minute ago was a thoroughfare and now we're supposed to turn it into a park. How daunting was that?
I would say very. The Greenway Conservancy really inherited the Greenway parks. They were designed by a number of really talented and great landscape architects, but I don't think anybody could really envision what that space was going to be from highway to park. That's hard when you're looking in plan and drawings and renderings. So I think when the park emerged with kind of young plantings, everybody was like, oh, this is it. But there was no activation plan yet, and I think that's where the Conservancy really stepped in. Our organization is unlike other park agencies in the city. We're a soup to nuts organization, like we like to call it. We do the horticulture, the maintenance, the programming, the fundraising, all of it, which means we can have a really nice coordinated effort in all of those different areas.
So a big part of the success, especially lately as we've seen new features and new activities on the park, is sort of a combination of inspiration from people like you and the Conservancy, but real local engagement so that the people
exactly.
who live near and by and use the Greenway feel like they've got their fingerprints on it.
Exactly. The Greenway runs through a lot of different neighborhoods and very diverse neighborhoods, from Chinatown through the Financial District up to the North End. So each park district really has its own personality based on their abutters. Some people see it as a very residential park in the North End and want to talk about doing more yoga classes and, you know, events there. The Financial District, there's a lot of food trucks because folks come out there for lunch and really activate that space. But what we try to do is work very closely with each of the communities when we're doing a project in their neighborhood, whether that's the Wharf District Council or school children. Actually, when we worked on the Greenway Carousel, our first stop was children. Who were the people that were going to be using this the most was the kids. So I actually had the great pleasure of going into four different elementary schools in different neighborhoods in Boston and sitting down with the kids and said, what kind of character would you want to ride on a Boston carousel? And in my former job, I was a model builder. So I had built these styrofoam carousels, these kind of miniature models of carousels, and the kids drew on them what they wanted to ride, whether it was a sea serpent or a skunk or a fox, and we put their drawings on index cards on popsicle sticks and populated these model carousels, and they loved them, and then worked with a local artist out of Newburyport to turn those drawings into the carousel characters that are there today, the lobster and the cod.
We have a great deal of pride, by the way, at the Mass Cultural Council in the carousel.
Absolutely.
In particular. That was one of our Cultural Facilities Fund projects, but also because you not only engaged a Massachusetts artist and you talked to Massachusetts kids, but it is one of the most handicap accessible carousels
exactly.
anywhere. What made you think about that?
Again, we wanted this to be available to everybody, and that means people from all different ranges of ages, abilities, across the board. We were able to work with the Institute for Human-Centered Design. Valerie Fletcher and her crew over there are fantastic in thinking creatively, not just on things like ramps, but on sensory different issues and activation. So the fur on the carousel characters is really defined, that sculptor made it really defined so people can really feel the fur of the fox on the carousel. I think it's really fantastic.
So these are neighborhood parks, but they're also the Greenway. So it's both a local destination, but a journey from end to end. It's a kind of a paradox, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think that's something that the Conservancy, we talk about that a lot. A lot of people will come and they'll experience one park, one piece of the park, or the whole park. And really, however people choose to experience it is great. We love that they are coming to see all the different activation we're doing, and want them to understand what was there and what else they can do with their time if they would like to. But we're really excited to see that people make their experiences their own.
You know, it's not like you don't have enough to do. Programming, many parks, and the horticulture, and taking care of the plants, and taking care of it. But you also try to keep it fresh. It's not like you're putting in, you don't see everything as a permanent installation. Talk about that philosophy.
Exactly. When we were thinking about our next step of activation, we were very successful with our organic horticulture program and engaging volunteers, our food truck program. Public art really seemed to be the next step. So actually, 2012, we engaged some consultants to do a public art strategy. And what came out of that was really identifying and owning that the Greenway is a different kind of park in Boston. The Common and the Public Gardens are fantastic parks, but we're kind of a new park, a new innovative park is how we see ourselves. So out of that came contemporary and temporary public art. And we're committed to that, which is great. We can I think expose Bostonians to a lot of different kinds of art and artists that way, different mediums, different inspirations. And if people don't like it, that's okay. It's going to go away. And if people do like it, sorry, it's going to go away. But we think it's a really great way to keep things fresh, rotating curations. One in Chinatown based on the Zodiac calendar. We did our sheep this year. Mm-hmm. Lucas Cowan was a genius with that one. And next year it'll be monkeys, you know, just rotating and keeping it interesting.
So what's the biggest challenge? I mean, you obviously are infinite creativity, and but how do you keep it going? How do you really face the constant maintenance requirements, the
right.
pressures of fundraising, the pressures of coming up with a new idea on a regular basis, the constant interaction with, you know, the local neighborhoods and the people who really
right.
feel a sense of ownership. How do you keep all those balls in the air at once?
I think part of it is being the type of organization we are, with kind of everything under one roof. That doesn't mean it's not challenging. I think especially this year with more people in the parks, taking care of the parks has gotten a lot harder. Mm-hmm. Our lawns have a lot of feet on them. Sometimes they're dancing, sometimes they're sitting, sometimes there's public art on them, and that takes a toll. So we really work internally and try to communicate with maintenance and horticulture staff and public program staff on what's happening when, so that we can take care of the park before and after. But a lot of it really is the people. I can't say enough about the staff at the Conservancy and how committed they are to what they do every day and how much they love it and the energy they bring. And so we are certainly fueled by the great ideas that come to us with that. I think people read our commitment and see that the Greenway is really a place to show their new ideas. And so they come to us with them, and it's kind of this constant back and forth energizing.
This is really an example of a new kind of park, as you've said a few times. It's not the Common, it's not the Public Garden, which are wonderful and have a really special place in the heart of the people of Boston. But give us a little peek into the future. What is the newest, freshest, craziest ideas out there that we might be seeing coming to the Greenway?
I'm excited to say we don't entirely know yet, right? which I think is great. We were just talking about this recently with our board, with our staff, on what's our next big thing. There will certainly be more public art on the Greenway to come throughout the next couple of years. And it's hard to believe the Greenway will actually be celebrating its 10th anniversary in 2017, 2018. So I think our next big public art piece will really be targeted around then. And what we have noticed, especially with the Janet Echelman piece over the Greenway, is that people have come to the Greenway and seen everything we have been doing for the past few years. We've gotten a lot more proposals for events, so I think there'll be a lot more event activation next year. We did a great series with a celebrity series in the Let's Dance Boston, where we brought people out to do dance lessons 5 nights a week with professional dance instructors and live bands of different kinds of music every night. So I think we'll see more of that coming in the near future with some interesting rotating curations.
So bronze sculptures?
Not permanent. We won't be working.
Maybe
I won't say, we may be working in some bronze coming up, and I think that's all I can say right now, but
I think
not
really
permanent.
One of the distinguishing features, and maybe you can talk more about some of on your checklist of characteristics, what works in a park like this, a new kind of park, a modern park, a newly made park. And I feel like interaction. Mm-hmm. Functionality, you put in some new benches on the north end that are actually swings.
Yes.
So what's your kind of punch list? If we're going to do it, we want it to be like these kinds of characteristics.
Fun, sustainable, green, and engaging is what we talk about a lot. So really, and we listen to what our communities are saying, you know, our abutters are asking for, and think, okay, how do we do that in a really fresh new way? Or how do we work with what we have and kind of update and reactivate it? I think that's what the swings really did in the North End, is we had this great architectural feature of the pergola, and the benches underneath it weren't quite working. Nobody was really sitting on them. So we made a change with that, added some swings, and now they are packed. So really kind of listening to what our abutters are looking for, listening to new ideas out there.
And it almost feels like the park has become almost like a community center. You mentioned yoga classes, and you mentioned food trucks, and you mentioned things that people might never in the past have gone to a park to access. Do you see the park having a different role than our traditional vision?
I absolutely do. I mean, I think that's what city parks in general are for. They're for gathering. They're for people to have these kind of informal interactions with people they might not see otherwise in their day. And we're seeing that a lot. Whether it's just, you know, asking a stranger to take a picture of you in front of the carousel or in front of the Eccleman, or we've very purposely wanted to activate with Arts Ambassadors, which are a great volunteer program that have educated the public and people with questions underneath the Eccleman sculpture. Because we got a lot of, what is that? You know, how did this happen? And so anticipating that, we grabbed this and combined this great fleet of volunteers who are incredibly fantastic. I can't say enough about them either. And educated them so that they could then share that with the rest of the public. So I think in sharing information, people ask questions together, they hear the responses and create this kind of engaging environment where you do speak to people you wouldn't normally talk to every day.
Where do the volunteers come from?
We also have a great volunteer coordinator. She's fantastic. Keelan Purcell has been working with volunteers, mainly in the horticultural side of things, but in anticipating this, working with Lucas, we put out a request and kind of a posting for volunteers for this project specifically. And Boston being as creative as it is with all of the universities and colleges around, we had a really great response.
So once again, it's another way for the community to have ownership of
exactly.
this wonderful feature in
exactly.
their community. One thing that I'm curious about as well is that it's not a park that's sequestered aside on the edge. It's right in the middle of streets. There's traffic
yes.
on all sides. What kind of a particular challenge has that presented to you?
Oh, that's a very interesting challenge in that both from the design of the parks and how we're updating those, we're constantly thinking about safety and edges and buffering. At the carousel, that was such a huge part of that conversation is we're going to have kids running around here in between two pretty busy streets. So I had to design accordingly. It also gives really great exposure to what we're doing in the park. So we try to use it as we can, and we have a lot of eyes on the greenway all the time. So there's pressure to make sure it's looking good, but it also gives us that platform to show what we're doing all the time.
So you get to dream about what's going up next. What are you dreaming about for the park?
I would really love to figure out other ways to bring in kind of the next ring of community in Boston. I think we've done a really great job of connecting with our immediate abutters, and there's really great work happening in other neighborhoods in the city. And how do we bring that to the Greenway and have it be a platform for the entirety of Boston and beyond to show what's going on in the area?
Congratulations on a fantastic project.
Thank you.
You know, I don't honestly think when people thought about a park instead of a highway, they could never have imagined sheep and swings and the amazing horticulture and all the work that you've done there. It's just got to be you just must have one of the most fun jobs.
It's incredibly rewarding. It is different every single day and within every single day, but I work with really fantastic people in a really great location, and I'm very grateful.
Laura Jasinski from the Rose Kennedy Greenway, thanks for sharing a bit of your creative mind out loud.
Thank you.
To learn more about this episode and to subscribe, visit creativemindsoutloud.org.